You are listening to Destination Maui, Book One and the Destination Murder Mysteries series, written by Anne Shepherd, narrated by Lauren Davis, published by Four Horsemen Publishing Incorporated. Copyright Anne Shepherd and 2022. All rights reserved. Dedication acknowledgments. Thank you to all who helped bring this book to life, especially my partner, Jeff Wolf, who first inspired the notion of a series involving a mystery-solving travel writer. Years ago, while on a press trip that included a train ride from New York City to Montreal, I called him from the Algonquin Hotel and told him one of the other writers on the trip was particularly difficult. From his response, "So if there's a murder on the train, we know who it will be," the idea was born. Additional thanks go out to the friends and family who read the various versions of the manuscript and have encouraged me along the way, especially Amy Acciona, Jill Bastian, Lisa Furfine, John Shepherd, Jordan Wiener, and Jane Woodson. Finally, I would like to dedicate this book to my beloved aunt, Anne Reynolds, whose belief in the project meant the world to me. Chapter 1. Appearances, as they say, can be deceiving. I had learned this more than once in my 10 years as a crime reporter in Los Angeles. I was coming to understand the concept again after returning to my hometown of Carmel by the Sea, California, and taking a new job as the travel columnist for Carmel Today magazine. And I was about to discover it yet again when someone turned out to be a murderer on my first press trip to a luxury resort on the Hawaiian island of Maui. I realize there's a lot to unpack. Yes, I'm starting with a travel pun, but I really had been doing a lot of unpacking lately, both physically and mentally. I guess that's what happens when you don't expect to return home and make a career transition at the ripe old age of 34, huh? Let me explain. My name is Samantha Powers, but everybody calls me Sam. And I returned to Carmel when I got the call from my Uncle Henry that my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's-related dementia and psychosis. Talk about your appearances. The diagnosis was something seemingly no one had seen coming. And yet the truth is, the clues had been there for a while, for anyone really paying attention. It wasn't just that the clues were somewhat subtle. It's that no one, especially me, who had avoided visiting or really even calling very often after the death of my mom a decade earlier, had taken the time to put them together. The thing is, my dad would have put them together. Solving mysteries, criminal and otherwise, was something he did better than anyone I knew. But not the rest of us. I mean, we maybe should have figured it out when Uncle Henry told me that my dad had been waking him up at 3 o'clock in the morning to discuss the crossword and adjusting the thermostat in the family home the two brothers shared to abnormal temperatures. Or when my dad called me to wish me a happy birthday a month early and then spent a good 15 minutes arguing with me over the date. There had also been reports of him being spotted wandering all over town, but as the former police chief, that wasn't completely out of the ordinary either. We all chalked these new and strange occurrences up to his ongoing grief after losing my mom and his retirement from the force. And since I was more than 300 miles away and the two of us had always had a somewhat prickly relationship on the best of days, I will admit I brushed a lot of it off. Maybe I wanted to. Maybe I was dealing with my own messes. Spoiler alert, I was. And a little nervous he would put the clues together that my life wasn't exactly as it seemed. Then one day, Uncle Henry couldn't reach my dad from his office at the Monterey School of Law. He rushed home and found him lying on the bathroom floor talking to invisible people. That's when I got the call that I should drop the seemingly successful life I had built in Los Angeles and come home, at least temporarily, to help Uncle Henry handle it all. My first month home was kind of a blur. At least it was a scenic blur from our home looking out over Carmel River State Beach. A much better view, I will say, than my studio apartment overlooking an alley in Venice Beach. Each morning, I would wander out from the studio my dad built for me above the garage when I was in high school to the kitchen in the main house to fix myself a cup of coffee. On the kitchen table, I would find the mound of documents and notes Uncle Henry had left of things for me to tackle while he was off teaching his law students. Most days, I would ignore the mound, take my coffee, look out at the ocean, and mentally thank my great-grandparents for choosing this gorgeous and large, by Carmel standards, spit of land to
Sample complete. Ready to continue?